ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
Chapter 29, Talks Between Narad and King Prathamabharhi. Savaya Priya Tamaschatma
Savaya Priya Tamaschatma
Yato Na Bhayam Anva Api
Yato Na Bhayam Anva Api
Iti Vedasa
Yo
Vidvansa Guru Hari
Yo Vidvansa Guru Hari
Savaya Priyantamaschatma
Savaya Priyantamaschatma
Yato Na Bhayam Anva Api
Yato Na Bhayam Anva Api
Iti Vedasa Vai Vidva
Iti Vedasa Vai Vidva
Yo Vidvansa Guru Hari
Yo Vidvansa Guru Hari
Savaya Priyatamaschatma
Savaya Priyatamaschatma
Yato Na Bhayam Anva Api
Yato Na Bhayam Anva Api
Veda Savaya Vidva
Iti Veda Savaya Vidva
Yo Vidvansa Guru Hari
Yo Vidvansa Guru Hari
Savaya Priyatamaschatma
Savaya Priyatamaschatma
Yato Na Bhayam Anva Api
Yato Na
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Why?
Why?
Certainly.
Certainly.
Priyatamaha.
Priyatamaha.
The most dear.
Most dear.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Atma.
Atma.
Supasol.
Supasol.
Yataha.
Yataha.
From whom?
From whom?
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Bhayam.
Bhayam. Bhayam.
Fear.
Fear. Fear.
Anu.
Anu. Anu.
Little.
Little.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Veda.
Veda.
One who knows.
One who knows.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Why.
Why.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Vidvan.
Vidvan.
Educated.
Educated.
Yaha.
Yaha.
He who.
He who.
Vidvan.
Vidvan.
Educated.
Educated.
Saha.
Saha.
He.
He.
Guru.
Guru.
Spiritual master.
Spiritual master.
Hari.
Hari.
Not different from the Lord.
Not different from the Lord.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One who is engaged in devotional service has not the least fear in material existence. This is because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the super soul and friend of everyone. One who knows this secret is actually educated. And one thus educated can become the spiritual master of the world. One who is actually bona fide spiritual master, representative of Krishna, is not different from Krishna. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, Sakshadaritvena samasta shastre yuktasatha bhavyatha ivasadhi. The spiritual master is described in every scripture as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual master is accepted as identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is the most confidential servant of the Lord. Kintu praborya priya eva tasya. The purport is that both the super soul and the individual soul are very dear to everyone. Everyone loves himself, and when he becomes more advanced, he loves the super soul also. A person who is self-realized does not recommend the worship of anyone but the super soul. He knows that to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead is easier than to worship various demigods under the influence of lust and the desire for material enjoyment. The devotee is therefore always engaged in the loving devotional service of the Lord. Such a person is a true guru. In the Padma Purana it is said, Satkarma nipido vipro mantra tantra visharada vaishnava guru nasyat vaishnava swapacho guru. Even if a Brahman is very learned in Vedic scriptures and knows the six occupational duties of a Brahman, he cannot become a guru or spiritual master unless he is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, if one is born in a family of dog eaters but is a pure devotee of the Lord, he can become a spiritual master. End quote. The conclusion is that one cannot become a spiritual master unless he is a pure devotee of the Lord. One who is a spiritual master, in accordance with the above description of devotional service, is to be understood as the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present. According to the words mentioned here, Guru Hari, Gurur Hari, consulting a bona fide spiritual master means consulting the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally. One should therefore take shelter of such a bona fide spiritual master. Success in life means accepting a spiritual master who knows Krishna as the only Supreme Beloved Personality. One should worship such a confidential devotee of the Lord. Om Gyana Pinarandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurunandamena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama So, Krishna's friendship is attained by engaging in devotional service. And through devotional service, one becomes fearless. So right now we are seeing there is a global fear taking place. We are seeing like toilet papers have been disappearing off the shelves of stores throughout the world. Certainly in Australia, but sure in many other countries of the world also. So we can see that fear is manifesting in people because of this, of the current crisis. So fear is part and parcel of this world for a conditioned living entity. So for one who has material consciousness, who is conditioned by material nature, they are always in a fearful state. As it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Bhayam Dvitiya Viniveshakasya Isha Gapetasya Vipriyayo Asmitihi Tan Maya Yato Buddha Avajaitam Bhaktya Kayesham Guru Devatma. So fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself or herself with the as the material body, and because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord and turning away from the Supreme Lord, fear arises. So the process of overcoming fear is by the engagement in bhakti or devotional service. So and as it has mentioned here, that one who knows Krishna as the super soul and the friend, he or she is free from fear. Right? So, and Krishna says himself in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse number 9. So, evayam mayate adyam.
Janma
Yoga Prabhupada Pratana Bhaktosi Mesaka Jeti Rahasyam Yad. He 4.7. Yeah. So he says that one of those verses in the fourth chapter. He says that Krishna says, Eva Maya Kavyam Yoga Prokta Puratana. That one who comes in the chain of disciplic succession, so what's that verse? That's the translation. So Eva Yam Maya Kavyam Yoga Prokta Puratana. Does anyone know the translation? Pandits? No. That Krishna revealed himself if one is a devotee, right? So if someone is a devotee of the Lord, then Krishna reveals himself. That's the point being made there. So in order to know Krishna, one has to be a friend of Krishna. Yes.
That very ancient science of relationship with the Supreme is today told my need to you, because you are my devotee as well as my friend.
As well as my friend.
Therefore you can understand this transcendental mystery of the science.
Yes, thank you. So Krishna reveals himself when one surrenders to him or one becomes his devotee. So that's how we attain Krishna's friendship. So Krishna is our eternal friend, right? Krishna is our eternal father, eternal mother, and also our eternal friend. Because we are intimately related to Krishna in loving service. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna. So that is our constitutional position. So the constitutional position of Jiva is that they are the amsha or the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord. They are the part and parcel. So because we are so intimately connected with Krishna, he is our true friend and master. And we see that Krishna, because he's a true friend and master, he's always cares for the well-being of his part. So that's what it means, true friendship. So in the material world, we are always seeking for friendship, right? And by nature, we are social beings, because we are social, and so we thrive in social settings. But the friendship in the material realm is tainted by selfishness. So in the material realm, there's the rasa of friendship, but that friendship is tainted with material consciousness. What's in it for me? That's why people make alliances, friendship, because there is something to gain. If there is nothing to gain, whether monetarily or in so many other ways, so one doesn't get lonely, for example, right? Sometimes people find friends so they don't feel lonely. Or they become friends with somebody because they want to gain something. Or they try to become friends with someone who has something more than what they have. So maybe it might be power or influence or money. Or they might have more fame, so they want to become friends. So they also gain that. So there is always some motive in friendship. But because we are intimately united with Krishna, Krishna is our real friend. So much so that as a friend, he's also looking, he's concerned about our well-being. Krishna is always concerned about our ultimate well-being. And Krishna is providing us everything for our sustenance and maintenance. So in the form of food, water, air, Krishna is providing all the living entities, because it's not only one, but Krishna has unlimited living entities who are his parts and parcels. So Krishna is concerned about the welfare of all living entities. So he is providing us everything in this material world for our sustenance. That is provided not only to the human beings, but even to other species of life. So Krishna is the maintainer, Nitya Nitya Nam, Chaitanya Chaitanya Nam, Eko Bahunam, Yodo Yodhati Kamam. So Krishna is the maintainer of all living entities. He is providing for all living entities what they require to sustain themselves in this world. And Krishna also is seated in the hearts of all living entities as the Super Soul. So Krishna does not leave his parts and parcels. So because Krishna is our supreme friend, he does not abandon his friendship. He is situated within the hearts of all living entities, and as the Super Soul, he is the witness, he's the sanctioner of the activities of all living entities, and he's providing according to the karma of the jiva. He's sitting within the heart of everyone. And it's not that Krishna is saying, because you're not my friend, so I won't be in your heart. So Krishna is in the heart of everyone, regardless of how the living entity is treating Krishna. Right? So regardless of how we treat Krishna, Krishna makes himself seated within the hearts of everyone, and also equally accessible by all the living entities. So Krishna is equal to everyone, because just like the sun, the sun is accessible, equally accessible by everyone. In the same way, Krishna is accessible by everyone. If we want to access Krishna, he makes himself available. So one who understands that Krishna is his friend, they will naturally be free of fear. If one understands one's position and Krishna's position, they will become free of fear. Just like a child, if he's well sheltered by his parents, then that child will be naturally be free from any sorts of fear. We see that, right? The children are fearlessly running around. They have no anxieties of how my next meal will come. Will I have any shelter? Where will I sleep? Will there be food on the table tomorrow? They're not worried about that. They're not worried about their physical protection, their mental protection, because they know they have loving parents, and their parents are taking care of everything. So they know they have a father, they have a mother, and the father and mother are diligently taking care of all the needs of their dependents, of their children. And if we have had good parents, I'm sure we have also been raised in that way. We didn't have to worry about our food. Right? Any of you, did you have to worry about it? No, so because you had good parents, so we were not worried about that. So similarly, if the living entity understands that Krishna is the... And Krishna says, Mata Dhata Pitamaha, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, I am the father. So Krishna says, I am the father of all living entities. If we understand that Krishna is our true friend and is our father, and if we understand Krishna's constitutional position as the supreme controller, as the lord of everything, as the proprietor of everything, then naturally one will become fearless. If one truly understands, I am the spirit soul, I am not this body, and I am part and parcel of Krishna, and all my protection is dependent on Krishna. Krishna is my maintainer, he is my lord and master. And he is providing everything. So if one understands simply the constitutional position of Krishna, one will naturally become fearless. One will roam around the world without much fear. Of course, that doesn't mean that one doesn't have to strive. One will still strive for one's existence, but one understands that in all circumstances, it is Krishna who is my Lord and Master, and who is protecting me, and who is providing everything. So, and Srila Prabhupada says that a devotee looks like any other person in the material world. Everyone is going about their daily lives. It looks like they are trying to strive. In the material realm, one thinks one is the doer, the karta. So people are striving in this world. And they think, I am the doer, because of my effort, I am earning money, I have a job. And because of my efforts, I am protecting myself. So externally it might look the same to anyone. A devotee looks the same as anyone else in this world. But the difference is, a devotee's consciousness is absorbed in Krishna. That's the difference. So externally it might look the same. The external activities or the form looks the same. The devotee is going to work, non-devotee is going to work. They both are eating, they're commuting, they're engaging in recreation, it's all sorts of activities. Externally they look the same, but internally a devotee should be taking shelter of Krishna and understands that it is Krishna who is providing, and I am the servant of Krishna. I am his part and parcel. So in that way then a devotee becomes fearless. And the epitome of fearlessness is Prahlad Maharaj. You see, Prahlad Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada, Jesus Christ. So, like Lord Jesus Christ, Prahlad Maharaj, there was religious persecution going on. They were being persecuted, right, because of their faith. So, Prahlad Maharaj, he was so Krishna conscious. And he was teaching his classmates about Krishna consciousness. First of all, they were trying to harm him by changing his mindset. So he was sent to school by his father so he can be brainwashed into being... he wanted him to become a statesman, right? And he wanted him to become a materialistic statesman like himself. Hiranyakashipu wanted that. So he sent Prahlad Maharaj to school, and he was teaching his classmates whenever he got an opportunity. When there was a break or they were outside, he was just talking about Krishna. So his father got threatened by Prahlad Maharaj, and he even told his father about Vishnu, that he should worship Vishnu. So he was so upset with Prahlad Maharaj, and he decided to kill his own son. He decided to persecute his own son, who was a devotee of Krishna, of Vishnu. So he was thrown in a pit of snakes. Can you imagine? He was thrown in a pit of snakes with maybe or tiger snakes or inland taipans or ground snakes or cobras. So he was thrown in a pit. And he was then he was thrown from a cliff. So maybe you're standing on the edge of the Grand Canyons. And he was thrown down. He was pushed and thrown down the cliff. They tried to drown him. They tried to cook him. They put him in, a hot pot of oil, and they tried to cook him like a pakora.
Oh, Krishna.
In so many ways, they tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj was very calm. And he was... He had taken full shelter of Krishna, and Krishna protected him. But nothing happened. Despite all these, they tried to pierce him. They tried to run him over by an elephant, like a mad elephant charging towards you. So you can see sometimes elephants, when they go rogue, car is nothing for them. They just tip it over like this, and they can crush it. So they tried to crush Prahlad Maharaj with an elephant. Nothing worked, because Prahlad Maharaj had taken full shelter of the Lord. This is a great example of Prahlad Maharaj. Jesus Christ, he was persecuted. So, but he was fearless. So in Jesus Christ's case, he was put on the cross and persecuted, right? They put the nails in his body and they tied him to the cross. But he was fearless. He he had taken full shelter. I mean, so much so, like as a true Vaishnava, he was compassionate on those who were inflicting all sorts of miseries on his body. Even see Haridas Thakur, he was caned by the orders of the king. He was told, they told him to cane him in so many marketplaces. But he was fearless, and he was praying for the well-being of those who were caning him. This is, you know, great examples of fearlessness. So one who becomes fearless, they can become a spiritual master, as it is mentioned here. And such a person is really educated, as mentioned here. So again, this fearlessness comes from understanding that Krishna, that Krishna is the Lord and Master. And understanding Krishna is the Super Soul in the hearts of all living entities, and taking shelter of the Super Soul. And then through such friendship, one can become fearless. So just like a child is fearless, they roam around, you know, without any worries. In the same way, a devotee becomes fearless when they take full shelter of Krishna. And we see Prabhupada, when he came to the West, he was fearless. He came with nothing, right? Srila Prabhupada came to the West with a box full of his Bhagavatam and maybe 40 rupees. What is 40 rupees is nothing. We try to go our lives amassing a huge bank balance and maybe number of assets. And so we are trying to become fearless in that way, trying to protect ourselves. But Srila Prabhupada, he came for his preaching with nothing. And even in India, when Srila Prabhupada was driving, he had nothing. So he was practically fearless. And Srila Prabhupada, his base was in Vrindavan when he had taken sannyas. Or maybe pre-sannyas or after sannyas. He was living in Vrindavan. He had no money. Every day he would commute to New Delhi. Every day he was commuting, you know, a couple of hours at least, or maybe more, by train to Delhi, and then whole day he would distribute his Back to Godheads, his magazines. He would go to the printers, he would get that printed, and he would collect money for the printing by selling his books. And he had no money. One time he had no money even to buy a jacket in the dead of winter, right? So through extreme circumstances, Prabhupada was fearless and he was preaching. And even when he came to the West, Srila Prabhupada, he came on a boat with no material means and possessions, right? And no connection, no significant connections. He had one connection, the Agarwals in America, but nothing very significant. And that was also a short-term connection. So Prabhupada came, he stayed in the Bowery with people he didn't know. And he was put in very, sometimes uncomfortable circumstances. The people he was staying with, they were tripping, right? They were on acid and high on drugs, and they were tripping. And sometimes they created even unsafe situations. And that's why Prabhupada approached Mukunda Maharaj, and he said, "Can you arrange somewhere for me to stay? Because the guy I'm staying with is tripping." So we see Prabhupada was fearless in preaching Krishna consciousness, because Prabhupada was in touch with the Super Soul, as it's mentioned here. He was constantly in touch with the Super Soul. And so not only you become friendly with the Super Soul, but a devotee is also friendly to all living entities, right? So a devotee is friendly to all living entities, and that's why they share Krishna consciousness. And as mentioned here, they become a guru. So not only are we supposed to become friendly with the Lord, by true service, but also this is in ISKCON, it's a great opportunity for us to show our friendship to devotees also. So one should not only revive one's friendship with Krishna, but also maintain and practice our friendship with devotees. So we advance, we render devotional service in the association of devotees. And in the association of devotees, we maintain our friendship and exercise our friendship. And also relate to devotees. So one of the six loving exchanges, Rupa Goswami says, you know, giving gifts, accepting gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring about the confidential nature of the Lord, offering prasadam, taking prasadam. So even in devotees, we exchange through these six loving exchanges. And one who is Krishna conscious, they can relate to everyone because they will understand the nature of everyone. Like Srila Prabhupada, he was able to relate to everyone. One time Srila Prabhupada was in the UK and he was talking to, I think, Graham Hill, who was a race car, who was a race driver. Right? So this guy was he raced cars for a profession. So for half an hour Srila Prabhupada was talking about car racing. And so he didn't like straight away say, "You're in Maya." "You're in Maya, driving cars all day. You should surrender to Krishna." So no, Prabhupada was able to relate to this person where he was at. So it's very important that that a devotee is able to relate to people because they understand everyone is the energy of the Lord. Everyone is the part and parcel, so they need to understand where they are at right now. They need to be able to relate to people where they are. So then Prabhupada was talking to this fellow and at one point he said, "I come very close to death quite often when I'm a hair's breadth away from death." And then Prabhupada used that opportunity to tell him about the precarious nature of material existence and his eternal position as a servant of the Lord. So first he was able to relate to him where he was at, and that person felt confident in Srila Prabhupada that he could reveal his mind to him, and then Srila Prabhupada preached to him. Right? So friendship is shown also to living entities by being able to relate to them where they are at and then share Krishna consciousness with them. Krishna consciousness. In that way, devotees maintain friendship with other devotees and also with other people. So one who knows the secret, they become fearless, as I was mentioned, because they understand that one becomes fearful when they feel they are not in control, right? So because we feel we are not in control or we are losing control, then we become fearless. But because we think we are in control, that means we are an illusion. We are never in control. It is Krishna who is in control. Because we think we are in control, that's why we are always in a state of fear. Because we feel we are going to lose control. One might possess something, one might possess some wealth or some assets or a position. Right? But if, like even Indra, he had a position and someone's doing yagyas, then he becomes fearful. He's going to lose his position. If 100 yagyas happen, he's going to lose his title of Indra. So all these titles, assets, they are given to us to live in this world and to do our service. But at any moment, they can be taken away. At any moment. Like we are seeing with this coronavirus pandemic, suddenly now the assets have become devalued, right? What was given to us is taken away. People's wealth has been taken away. So that just shows us we are not in control. It is we think we are in control, but really we are not in control. We are not the doer. Krishna is the doer. So the sooner we realize, the more peaceful we will be. Krishna says, Bhoktaram Yagya Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suryadantara Bhutanam Gyatvama Chandim Richati. So, one who realizes that Krishna is the ultimate beneficiary of all our endeavors or sacrifices, one who realizes that Krishna is the proprietor of everything and he's the Lord and Master of everything, such a person will become peaceful. They won't be fearful, or you know, they'll naturally become peaceful because they understand that Krishna is in charge, right? We are thinking I'm in charge, and their titles like director or assistant director. So we're thinking we're directing something, but really it is Krishna who is in charge. And we are also given certain positions so we can serve Krishna. We can control to organize situations for Krishna's pleasure. But we need to remember that it is Krishna who is in charge, and we are delegated a position. And one who knows this science is a rare soul, and such a rare soul can become a spiritual master. So this knowledge is the most confidential knowledge. Krishna says, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. Raja Guyam. So this is the king of all knowledge, and this knowledge of one's relationship with the Lord and the activities and the activities in relationship to the Lord, this is the most confidential knowledge. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9.2, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. Right? So confidential knowledge means to understand that I am not this body. So most people don't even know that. What are we taught our whole life? We are taught we are this body. We go to school, we are taught philosophy, science, chemistry, we have politics, sociology, there are so many subject matters in this world. There are so many subject matters. But no one knows who they are. We are taught so many different subject matters, different schools of thought, different subject matters, but the knowledge that one is spiritual, that is not known. So that knowledge is confidential. And even more than that, even if one understands, I'm not this body, I'm the spirit soul, but then one needs to understand what are the activities of the spirit soul. What is the activity of the jiva? So it is one thing to understand that we are the soul within the body. Even that knowledge is lacking. What to speak of the one's activities in relationship to Krishna? So that is the most confidential knowledge. That is the Raja Guhyam. Raja Guhyam means to understand. I am Krishna's servant. What am I meant to do as Krishna's devotee? What am I meant to do? So the nectar of devotion gives us all the activities what a devotee is meant to do. And when we come to a temple, these are the activities of the spiritual world, right? And like deity worship, speaking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, as we are doing right now, using our senses in Krishna's service, right? So when one does these activities, are very, very confidential. And they might look like mundane activities, but because they are in relationship with Krishna, they are the most confidential activities. And this is an open secret. It is right out there, but people can't see it because they don't have the eyes to see it. So one who knows these teachings, one who is in touch with the super soul, and one who is fearless, such a person is qualified to become a spiritual master, right? So it's a very important point mentioned here about the spiritual master is mentioned here, and the spiritual master is non-different from Krishna. So that's why a guru is very important. One needs a guru because a guru will guide one towards Krishna. Like in the mundane realm also there are so many gurus. We go to school, we hear from a guru, from a teacher. One has a business guru, right? One has a mentor. Sometimes one can become a life coach. They are a guru. There's so many gurus in different fields. But even in the spiritual, there is the guru. And Krishna is the Adi Guru. So Krishna is the Adi Guru. And Krishna authorizes a living entity who is in touch with him to become his representative. And that is the Parampara system. So Krishna says, this is my system. Krishna has made this Parampara system. He says in the very beginning of the fourth chapter, I instructed this science to the sun god Vivasvan. Vivasvan instructed it to Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku spoke it to Manu. And in this way, the chain of the cyclic succession is continuing. So Krishna has created this system where those living entities who are in touch with him, who have realized him, they can become a spiritual master. Just like we have the commissioner of police, right? So there's a police commissioner, and then everyone who is acting under in the police department, they are acting on his behalf. So if you read the legislation, it says, you know, the commissioner has these powers, and you are the one who is working under the commissioner, who is working in that department. They are exercising the powers of the commissioner. In other words, they are the representative of the commissioner. The commissioner has delegated them those powers on his behalf. So when a policeman stops us on the road, and if he tells us you have been speeding or tells us something, that's as good as the commissioner telling us. It's as good as the police commissioner, because they have been endowed with the powers and they are enacting the laws instituted, made by the government. So the cop on the street is a representative of the commissioner, because they're saying the same thing. They're not saying anything different. They're not going to add anything. They're not going to add their opinion to the law. Neither they can remove anything from the law. They are supposed to administer the law as it is. So in the same way, a spiritual master is the representative of the Supreme Lord. The spiritual master is the representative. They are not supposed to add anything to what Krishna said, nor are they meant to remove anything just because they don't like it. So if one can do that, then that is one of the qualifications of a spiritual master. And a spiritual master also, some of the criteria of becoming a spiritual master is they need to know Krishna. One who doesn't know Krishna, how can he become a spiritual master? One who doesn't even know Krishna, how can they become a guru? If someone says, I'm a business guru, they need to know what they're talking about. So one is a spiritual master in our line, they need to understand the Supreme Lord, or any guru for that matter. Any guru for that matter needs to know who is the Supreme Lord. They need to be very well versed with the Shastra. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, when the sages of Naimisharanya, they were performing the yajna, the thousand year yajna for the benefit of the citizens of Kali Yuga, at that time when Suta Goswami, he entered the scene, the sages of Naimisharanya, they glorified him and they spoke about his qualifications to sit on the Vyasasana, because they wanted him to sit on the Vyasasana and speak the Srimad Bhagavatam and guide them. So they glorified him and they put forward the qualifications of a spiritual master. So there they said, mm They said, "Oh, respected Srila Goswami, because you're completely free from all vice and you're well versed in the scriptures and you have gone through them under proper guidance and I've also explained them." So these are some of the qualifications of a spiritual master. Number one, they need to become well versed. So if they don't even know the scripture, how can they teach others? How can they elevate someone if they don't even know the Shastra? So not only the devotees, but if someone is a guru, they need to be extremely well versed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the books of Srila Prabhupada. And they have to be free from all vice. In other words, they need to have a very high moral integrity and they need to have a very high character and free from the four vices of meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and any sorts of speculative gambling, as Prabhupada mentions here. So, if one is not following even these basic things, how can they be a guru? I mean, this is expected of all the devotees, what to speak of one who is a guru. And they have to have a guru themselves because they have to have gone under proper guidance. So such a guru should also be coming in the parampara system. If they themselves are not coming in the parampara system, then they are not qualified to become a guru. And most importantly, they have to be engaged in devotional service 24/7. So such a person is qualified to become a spiritual master. So even as Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Instruction, one who can control the urges of the mind, of the tongue, of the body, of the belly, of the genitals, who can control the forces of anger, such a person is qualified to become a spiritual master and initiate devotees. Right? So these are some of the qualifications. They have to have control over their senses. Otherwise, how can they inspire others to control their senses if they themselves cannot control? So if one can become a teacher if one is following oneself. Prabhupada gives example. If a teacher tells others not to smoke, but they are smoking themselves, no one's going to follow. So if you want to become a guru or leader, then you need to follow yourself. Otherwise, what's the value? People are going to... Anyone can talk. Talking is not that hard. With a bit of practice, you can give good lectures. It's not that hard. You can become a charismatic speaker with a bit of practice. But it is following the teachings, that is the main thing. And also being able to speak nice is also very important because you need to be able to teach very effectively. But one will see through the hypocrisy. People can see through the hypocrisy if one is not living the talk, is the saying. If one is not living the talk, very quickly the disciples and the people will see through the hypocrisy. It's just a matter of time and that will be exposed. So one who is a devotee, they are above the ritualistic, as it is mentioned here. They are above the ritualistic ceremonies of the Vedas. So even if Prabhupada is saying a Brahman is very learned in the Vedic scriptures and knows the six occupational duties of a Brahmana, he cannot become a guru unless he is a devotee. So the main point is they need to become a devotee, not necessarily be so well versed, but they're not acting as a devotee. So we see in the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, when Krishna and Balaram, one time when they were in the forest, Krishna sent Balaram to the yagyic brahmanas. So the yagyic brahmanas, they were these brahmanas performing yagyas. They knew the mantra pakka, you know, all doing the puja, ritualistic ceremonies, very pakka. All the mudras, everything paka, the shastra, the niyam. So they were doing all that, and Krishna said, Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys were feeling hungry. They said Ramana is performing some yagyas. He sent Balaram and the cowherd boys, go and ask them for some food. He said, say Krishna and Balaram are hungry, go and ask them for some food. So the cowherd boys, they went there, and these brahmanas were doing the yagya, and they said, most respectful brahmanas, we have Krishna and Balaram in the forest and they are hungry. Can you please spare us some bhoga, some prasada? And the brahmanas got offended. They said, you're disturbing us in our yagya, in our rituals. Who is Krishna? Who are Krishna and Balaram? You know? They're just boys. What do they know? Why should we give the food? And they insulted, and they didn't give anything, and they went away. So what was the use of all the ritualistic pujas and knowledge if they didn't understand that Vedasya Sarvaya, right? They didn't understand that the goal of all Vedas is Krishna. Through all the Vedas, Krishna is to be known. And Krishna is the Veda, and he's the compiler of the Vedas and the teacher of the Vedas, like Vyas did. They didn't understand the essence of the knowledge. So all their knowledge was useless. But their wives, who were not so great pundits, but they understood the essence of the Vedas. So they had the real knowledge. So one can be very learned in the Shastra, but if one doesn't understand Krishna, then all that knowledge and learning is useless. Is completely useless. And in fact, it will make one proud. So all these qualifications of great learning, knowledge, they become totally useless and leads to pride. And they become an obstacle in advancing in Krishna consciousness. So the brahmanas, they could not advance because they were stuck over there. They were stuck in their high learning and their rituals and their position as the brahmanas in society. So with all the pride that comes along with being a brahmana, the prestige and comes along, so they were stuck in that. But their wives were simple and they understood Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So when they heard this, Krishna was asking for food, they immediately took all the foods against the wishes of their family members and their husbands and the brahmanas. They went there and they served Krishna with bhoga, right? So they offered all the food to Krishna because they understood that Krishna is the source of everything, and Krishna has asked for service and we want to serve him. So such a person, then they are qualified to become guru. So so we have three types of gurus. So one type of guru is the Paramatma Pradaksha guru. So one guru is one who shows the path to Krishna consciousness. So they are a guru. And Lord Chaitanya says, Yare dekha tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amar agya hoy guru upadesh. He says, on my order, you all become gurus and share Krishna consciousness with whomever you meet. So anyone can become a guru, right? So whoever is sharing Krishna consciousness, if you are preaching, you are a guru. You are effectively acting as a guru because you are telling people about Krishna consciousness. You are teaching them, right? Yare dekha tareha Krishna upadesh, amar agya hoy guru desh. So one who shows the path to Krishna consciousness, they are also a guru. So you know, you might have come to temple and you met some devotee and they told you, Prabhuji, there's a class happening here, you want to go there? Can you please come? So they've shown you the path, or they've given you a book, or they've shared some instruction on the street, right? You've sold a book to someone. You sold so many books. So you meet someone, you have a conversation with them, and then you tell them about Krishna. So in a small way or a big way. So you're showing the path to someone. And then we have Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus. So we can have one Diksha Guru. So the Diksha Guru is the person who connects us to the Parampara officially. So Krishna's system is of the Parampara. He has given the Parampara. So a Diksha Guru is one who connects one to the Parampara and is the surrendered point to the Supreme Lord. So we take initiation from a spiritual master, and the qualifications of a spiritual master are outlined. They have to have those qualifications, and a disciple has to ensure that they have those qualifications. That's why it is not recommended that the moment you see someone, you are inspired by a little bit to take initiation. There is a period when one needs to assess the guru and ensure they are in good standing. And the guru likewise assesses the disciple. Are they really serious and are they following? So there's a period when one follows and one takes shelter over a spiritual master to assess whether they are the right spiritual master for me. Can they guide me in my circumstances? Can I relate to them? And are they worthy of a guru? Are they following the teachings, you know, properly? So one needs to assess, not just blindly accept a spiritual master. So a Diksha Guru is one who makes the connection to the Parampara and their teaching, and the Shiksha is of the Parampara. So we can have many Shiksha Gurus. It's plural. The Guru is plural. So we can have multiple Shiksha Gurus, but there will be one Diksha Guru. And all the Shiksha Gurus and the Diksha Guru, the Shiksha they're imparting is the Shiksha which Srila Prabhupada has imparted. So Prabhupada's Shiksha is the prime Shiksha, right? What he's teaching is the prime. That's why Srila Prabhupada's position is very unique in our society. He's the founder Acharya. Not only he founded the society, but he's also the Acharya for all time to come. It's not only during his presence, but for all time to come. So Srila Prabhupada's position is very unique. That's why in all the centers, Srila Prabhupada is sitting on the Vyasasana, right? He's just to... So we know that Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of our institution. And his Shiksha should be prominent. And his books should be the most prominent. And his books should be distributed very widely and taught from. His books are the basis, the foundation of the whole movement. So yes, we can have one Diksha Guru, and the instructions of the Diksha Guru should align with Srila Prabhupada's instructions. If they do not align, then there's something wrong there. And in our institution, there's a multi-guru system. There's multiple gurus. There's not one prominent guru, right? So Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya, and everyone else is meant to work cooperatively, not creating various camps, you know, this guru camp, that guru camp. But all gurus are in the camp of Srila Prabhupada, and then even the disciples, not to make their own camps, but it's Srila Prabhupada's camp, it's not my guru's camp. Melbourne is my guru's camp, or this section, or this Bhakti Diksha is my guru's camp. All we are in Srila Prabhupada's camp. And everyone is meant to work cooperatively, all the spiritual masters, all the disciples of spiritual masters, to work cooperatively as we are here, to engage in Srila Prabhupada's service, in Srila Prabhupada's movement. We are in Prabhupada's movement, so we are not in different camps. So yes, we'll have one Diksha Guru, and so the Diksha Guru is the surrendering point. They give us instructions on how to make advancement, and basically they're training us how to progress in Krishna consciousness, right? So through their lectures, they're training us. By their personal instructions, they're training us, okay? And they're guiding us how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's the relationship between the disciple and the guru. So the guru guides the disciple on through principles, not by controlling the life. I hope that's not happening. Your life is being controlled through a guru or a system of his disciples. So they're meant to guide you through principles rather than going into the nitty-gritty details. So yes, we can present the details, but then they present, okay, you know, in such circumstances, these are the principles, maybe you can do like this. But it's not that one doesn't have any free will. So as an individual, we need to have our own free will and independence to make our decisions under taking some guidance. So it's not that one becomes a robot if one accepts his spiritual model. It shouldn't become like that. Or if one becomes a robot and is just told what to do. One needs to use, Prabhupada said, we need to become independently thoughtful and take shelter of the spiritual master. So one can have a Diksha Guru and one can have multiple Shiksha Gurus. There's not, because our Diksha Guru is not with us all the time, right? They are probably traveling. And at some point they won't be in this world. So we can have multiple Shiksha Gurus and they teach us, someone who you're inspired by, anyone can become a Shiksha Guru, right? So it is said a devotee shows compassion to those who are less advanced than oneself. A devotee befriends those who are on an equal level, and then a devotee takes shelter from those who are advanced than oneself. So those who are advanced than oneself, one can take shiksha from them, if one can relate to them. Provided you can relate to them and you have built a relationship with them, you know, they can maintain confidentiality and one can reveal one's mind to them and take instruction from them. And that is success in life, as Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here. Success in life means to accept a spiritual master. So if one who has such guidance, then they are successful in life. And otherwise one is a failure. So I'll leave it there. You have any questions or comments? So next, Narad Muni is going to I think present an allegory or an example of a deer. In the coming verses, very interesting, showing Prachinabhari how he was so, but giving the example of a deer who is so absorbed in a nice garden, and how he was like a deer and caught up in material existence. So very interesting, what's coming up, exciting. All right, no questions. So we'll end here. Thank you for your attendance. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.